One of the things that we've never talked about before on with regard to the Feast of Pentecost is each feast has a corresponding judgment.
Judgment.
And on the Feast of Pentecost, the fruit of the tree is judged. Oh, that's a heavy-duty judgment.
What do you mean judgment?
It's judged to whether or not that tree meets Levitical law. It's judged to see whether or not the tree is doing what it's it, whether it's, you remember that word, the yalak or the halak? It's doing what the thing is supposed to do. And it's typified by the wave offering, the offering itself is the Hebrew word temupa or tempura. I can't even pronounce it, but anyway, whatever it is, you can look it up, and it refers to a hand being waved in judgment. It's what happens. It's the wave offering itself, but by the act of offering the wave offering, everything except the wave offering stands in judgment. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah. It's like a shaking.
Yeah. It's what happens when you shake. It's typified in what happens when you shake the flour in the sieve, or it's also what happens if a prophet raises his hands to heal, etc., etc., etc. But the fruit of the tree is judged, and that's why the readings that are connected with the feast of Pentecost, everyone is invited, all the stranger, even Levites are invited. But it is a judgment on the fruit of the tree. Now, Galatians 5 is the only definition of the fruit of the tree that we have in the scriptures. Now again, remember, and I don't know how you do this, but the fruit of the tree cannot be eaten or cannot be judged for 3 years. You remember that? According to Levitical law. On the third year it's judged, and it's judged at the Feast of Pentecost. Now, we haven't gotten into these. There's different times of judgment for different things, and we'll talk about that in much more detail at a later date. Go to Galatians 5. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, now let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. (Clears throat) Go to Acts chapter 4.
Where it says, let every man prove his own work. Is that the same as saying, let every man test his own work?
That's what prove means. Let's not go to 4. Let's go to Acts 2. Verse 38. Or 37. Peter, this stupid fisherman, unlearned, unwashed, unwise, had just made one of the greatest speeches, preachments, in the history of the world. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, one of the readings is Psalm 110, and it says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the day of Pentecost is the day of his power. It's the day that if his power doesn't exist, then we are dead men. It's the day when the fruit of the tree is judged. It's the day when you decide once and for all time whether you're living on this horizontal timeline with the Buckner, Sarah Buckner view of theology, or you're living on the one dot. Whether you're, I'm on the not doing it now, or you're on Christ. And I anticipate, and again, as I said, that many of the readings for Pentecost, if you've gone through them, talk about ridding the rebellious from the house. And it's only those that were gladly receive the word that are baptized. The reading for Pentecost is Ezekiel 1 and 2, the vision of Ezekiel, the whirlwind. The vision for the readings for Pentecost are all connected with the threshing floor and the fruit of that threshing floor. So that finally an offering, a leavened offering, now leavened with the seed of Christ as opposed to their own efforts. I'm concerned about some of the people in the body. I'm extremely concerned about Butch and Donna. I am extremely concerned about Daryl in September. Lee Latzer, can't judge the fruit. He hasn't been here long enough. Daryl in September, Butch and Donna. It's time that we truly experience the fear of God, that we might experience the power of God. And if I have anything to do with it, that's what will happen this Pentecost. We have never, ever, as a body of people, apprehended Pentecost. It has been the sloppy, well, no it isn't. All the feasts are sloppy. Except we do pretty well on Passover. Because there's a form, there's a Seder, there's an order. But Pentecost has been a time in which there is no formalized order of activities. The only things we know about, we know what Christ was doing in the Spirit, and we know what was happening to the disciples at the time the high priest was doing certain things. And we know that the disciples came to that Pentecost in a state of fear, the fear of God. Because they were caught between this incredible paradox. They had to attend the feast, but if they did attend the feast, they did it endangering their own lives. Let's go to Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Remember, for those of you who haven't studied it, in 2 Kings, Jehu tricks everybody. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 18. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now, Ahab was an extremely evil man. And Jehu, turns out, he gets wiped out too, but
he had a good start.
He's in the process of tricking. Come on, everybody, come on to the feast. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, all his priests, let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. I have a great sacrifice to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. And that solemn assembly was the Feast of Pentecost. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal. And the house of Baal was full from one end to the other. The house of Baal in the spirit is the temple. It's what Christ did. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments. Let that covering, which is your true covering, be shown and seen by everybody. Let your clothing, let your that which you were clothed with, become apparent, become seen by everyone. And Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, unto the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search, and look, that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only. And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burn offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without, and said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them, let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them, and they brake down the image of Baal and brake down the house of Baal and made it a draught house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. And that's what happened on the Feast of Pentecost. Baal was destroyed out of Israel. They came from all over the world to the house that Herod built. Beautiful temple. A meaningless temple, because it did not have the ashes of the red heifer, it did not have the Ark of the Covenant, and it did not have the Shekinah glory. It was the house of Baal. All over the world, people were called to come in onto it. Come in and worship your God after your understanding. And not one man left it alive. Somehow the fear of God has to come on your group so strong that they can be seen and know that they are without form and void, that the Spirit of God must move over the face of the waters of judgment and say, let there be light. There can be no negotiation with the flesh. There can be no excuses for the flesh. That flesh, that body of flesh, must know in the spirit that it is without form and void. There is no form to their idolatry. It is void, empty, that the Spirit of God might move on the face of those waters of judgment, and that he might say to us as a body, let there be light. My people are willing in the day of thy power. In any other form, everyone's invited. But there shall be no negotiations with the flesh. That's what this Pentecost is about. I pray that we will so much know the fear of God by Saturday night that unless he himself, by his Spirit, reveals himself, we are all just dead men. No more negotiations with the flesh of the slightest instance, the slightest inkling. That this Pentecost would be the picture of a revolution.